Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
David Cobb covers college basketball and college football for CBS Sports on X at David W. Cobb. Also, role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN. You hear him all the time, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, and then Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company. David, happy Friday. How are you?
Hey, man, happy Friday to you. You got a big football weekend and then a one-year-old's birthday party coming up on Sunday. So I don't know if you want to hit the applause for that, Connor. But, Gabe, I know you probably got one coming up soon, too. I mean,
have you guys started the planning process? Yes, very much so. My wife's been all over it. We have invitations going out early next week.
Oh, y'all did paper invitations? Okay, so you did. Okay, y'all took it to even a higher level than we did.
What's the theme? That's the big question.
Yeah, honestly, I think the theme is, like, let's all gather around and watch her, you know, just – stuff her face with cake. I think that's kind of the theme of every one-year-old birthday party, right?
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, you know, my theme, or at least my wife. She's a big Harry Potter fan, so we're doing a Harry Potter theme. The Chosen One. He's going to pick his house. Not listen, it wasn't my idea. It's hers, you know.
No, I like that. I mean, what do you think he is? You think he's a Gryffindor, a Slytherin, a Hufflepuff?
I don't know. He's a hipster child. Maybe Ravenclaw.
Ooh, okay.
Ravenclaw. Okay. The forgotten about house.
They are forgotten about. You know, I'm actually listening to the very, very slowly but surely listening to the audio books because I was never that into it as a kid.
We lost him. Looks like we lost David. We'll get him back on the show in just a moment. But, yeah, going into his first birthday party, I figured the same as David. I figured, hey, let's just shove his face into some cake, see if he enjoys it, you know, give him that sugar rush. But, you know, as we do these days, us millennials, we like to theme everything. We like to make some things happen around that. Now, when we do get into some college football talk, I need to ask David about – where he thinks we could potentially get some chaos. I have a couple of games circled, and I need his opinion on them. Florida, Ole Miss. We know Ole Miss came up short against Florida last year, and that really was the final straw that broke the camel's back on their college football playoff hopes. We got David back?
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, so no theme for you guys. That's what I would have preferred.
Yeah. And to the best of my knowledge, now I was not like the primary planner of this party, so maybe I just missed the memo. But no, I don't think there's a theme.
Yeah, husbands aren't planners, man. I mean, you learn that starting at the wedding, you know, and maybe even before that. Go ahead. I apologize.
True. No, it's 100% true. I was just validating you because I'm not a big planner. I like planning vacations. I'll say that's the only thing I like planning. But I don't plan anything else.
All right. Going into this weekend in college football, I just want to, you know, get a general question out there first before we talk about the big matchups, ranked versus ranked. Where do you think we could see some chaos, right? Like, I have a couple of games circled. Florida, Ole Miss. We know Ole Miss came up short. I'm not, you know, Ole Miss owes them one. They're on their home field, so that changes things. I don't necessarily think South Carolina is going to sneak up on A&M, but, you know, they came close against Alabama. South Florida Navy has that opportunity, Pitt, Notre Dame. Like, where do you look on this slate and say, okay, we could see some chaos?
Yeah, so Pitt, Notre Dame is a great call because it's Notre Dame going on the road against one of the better opponents they've played in 6 or 7 weeks. and basically what is an elimination game. And so, like, even if Texas loses, for example, they're still not completely out of it. And but if Notre Dame loses, they are. I mean, that conversation is done. So I see chaos potential there, especially with the way Pitt's been playing offensively. They've got at least an outside shot. So definite chaos potential there. I mean, and shoot, tonight, Oregon's offense
right.
has not been playing very well. I don't think Minnesota's going to win that game. But we could look up in the third quarter there, and that'd be a close game. And there's definite chaos potential there because two-loss Oregon potentially would have very little grounds to make the college football playoff.
So I was looking at that game. I was thinking about making it a part of my weekend winners at the end of the show. But, like, I look at that line, 25.5, and they're trying to get you to take Minnesota, which makes me think Oregon. But how much of that struggle win on the road against Iowa is, one, Iowa just being – it's tough to play there. And, two, they were missing their starting tight end, missing the starting tackle, and missing DeCorian Moore. David?
Yeah, so you got me?
Yep, I got you. Having okay, some trouble so, today.
No, it's what they're – Oregon's in the stretch right now where they're playing all these Big Ten West teams, basically. And so they're playing like a Big Ten West team during that stretch. But you're right. I mean, they're just totally battered at receiver right now. And I think all that is doing is just feeding into the Big Ten West style of play. Because when you don't have DeCorian Moore, you don't have your tight end, you don't have Bryant, like you're pretty limited offensively in what you can do in the pass game. And that and the good thing though for Oregon is that they're actually running the football a lot better than they did last year. You go look like Noah Whittington is having his best season. So the good thing is that they have the option to play that way. Because there's some teams, like if Alabama were this battered at receiver, like if Alabama was missing Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard and Isaiah Horton was on one leg, like they would be in deep trouble. So I think you actually have to give Oregon a lot of credit because given the type of opponent that they're playing this month and given the injury status at receiver, like their options are kind of limited and they're leaning into a totally different style of play than what we maybe thought they were going to be, but they're doing it pretty well. So like, do I give Minnesota much of a chance? Yeah, to cover 25.5, absolutely. Cause I still don't think, look, Oregon's coming off of a short week. Minnesota's coming off of a bye. Oregon's got two big games coming up. They got to play USC and Washington, which is a big rival. This is Minnesota's Super Bowl. So like, I think there's a lot of factors there that like suggest Minnesota like might give Oregon their best shot. So if you're looking at 25.5, man, that's an interesting number because I don't think this Oregon team is the same Oregon team that we saw hang 69 on Oklahoma State. I think it's just a much different team right now because of the injuries at receiver and just because of the style of play. Like they're just kind of leaning into ball control, control the line of scrimmage, run the football. And, you know, it's not been pretty, but it's been successful.
Now, speaking, you brought up Alabama in that response. Speaking of Alabama, big matchup at home against Oklahoma. Six-point favorites. And Oklahoma is in this spot where, you know, win or go home when it comes to the college football playoff. But they're coming off a bye. Like, should I be, you know, we know their defense is great. We know that they can make some things happen, create turnovers. Alabama's been really good at holding on to the ball, but this is a tricky matchup, no, for Alabama.
Yeah, I think the formula for Oklahoma is very similar to what it was when they won at Tennessee. The big difference is that Alabama turns the football over much less than Tennessee does. Tennessee turns it over. Joey Aguilar he's been good, but he puts the ball in harm's way. And Ty Simpson does not. He has not thrown an interception since the Florida State game in week one. So you're going on the road in a tough environment against a high-powered offense. Like you're going to have to come up with some turnovers, and Alabama just doesn't do that. And then John Mateer's just got to be, I mean, so cautious and sound with the football and smart. And you know the issue with me is, like, there have been moments and times and flashes where Oklahoma's been able to run the football this year. But it hasn't been consistent enough. And do I trust John Mateer to go on the road and lead Oklahoma to a victory? No. And you might say, well, yeah, but what about what they did in Knoxville? I mean, to me, I think that was more about Tennessee blowing opportunities and Tennessee giving a game away, especially in the first half when they kind of dominated. And I don't see Alabama doing that, which then puts the onus on Mateer to play a brand of hero ball that quite frankly, I don't think he's cut out to play.
Yeah, now we have Texas-Georgia this weekend at Georgia, night game in Sanford Stadium. That is not, that's not easy to do if you're Texas. Even though you're coming off a bye, you've had a couple of weeks to game plan. Digging in on Georgia, as a team, we'll start here. What is your overall feeling about that team? Like, what do they do well, in your opinion, and what are their issues?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think they're coming into their own offensively. You look like two of the last three games, they've been unstoppable. I mean, unstoppable offensively. At Mississippi State, that's the way it was, and then against Ole Miss. They were elite on offense, and really in the run game too, especially yep. against Mississippi State. Like, they ran the football extraordinarily well. And Mississippi State's not an elite defense, but they're a whole lot better than they were last year defensively. And you look at Texas coming in there, and they're it's a solid above average defense. I don't know that it's an elite defense. Then defensively, they're more of a bend but don't break sort of
right.
deal with Georgia. You know, but the thing is, it's not like Texas is going to hit them over the top with a bunch of explosives. Like, that's what we saw, like, them be – like, Georgia was vulnerable with that early in the season. Like, Tennessee hit them down the field a lot. But Texas can't do that. Texas is a bunch of horizontal – bubble screens, tunnel stuff, you know, swing passes. I mean, that's where Arch Manning is getting all these yards right now. And I just don't think that Georgia is going to get gashed by that stuff like a Vandy or like a Mississippi State that doesn't have the elite caliber of athletes.
Yeah, but I get the feeling everybody's waiting for vintage Georgia. And I thought we saw it a little bit last week against Mississippi State. But I have not had that feeling this year, because one thing about Georgia that I think is vintage, even with this year's team, is – their ability to, as long as the opponent's not Alabama, to close games and win them even if they're close, right? Like, against Florida, I know that's not a good team, but they handled business, figured it out. Like, there's a skill to that, and it feels like this Georgia team has it now.
Georgia and Alabama both do. I mean, in fact, like, the only team I would say is like a, quote, vintage sort of blue blood right now is Ohio State. But I'm not convinced that a lot of that isn't due to the level of competition. Like, I think they would have to win ball games the same way Alabama and Georgia are winning ball games if they played better teams. Ohio State doesn't play anyone that's any good. So they look vintage for sure. How much of that is real, I don't know. But I think it's actually really impressive what Alabama and Georgia have done, because in this era where there's more parity and more talent spread out across the sport, they've transformed from dominating to winning on the margins a little bit. And that's not an easy transition to make. But it's a transition you have to make. And they've both been just extraordinarily clutch this year. You know, you mentioned the Alabama game for Georgia. Really, in the second half of that game, they were the better team.
The Tennessee comeback and the Ole Miss comeback, though, come to mind.
Yeah, Gunnar Stockton, man. Like, you know, okay, you could argue Carson Beck is still a better NFL prospect, I guess.
Yeah.
But if you're asking me who I want to be leading the drive with the game on the line in the fourth quarter, man, I'm taking Gunnar Stockton every time.
Yeah, thanks for bringing up Miami and our guy Carson Beck. I'm sorry. I've talked about it incessantly this week. I can't feel sorry for Miami because of the situation they put themselves in. Where are you at? You know, they keep looking at Notre Dame, but you know what I would tell them when it comes to head-to-head? Well, look at Louisville, who has the same amount of losses as you. Like, I just can't feel bad for them. I can't do it.
No, and it's part of the deal with being in the ACC right now, too. You just don't get the chances to make up for your blunders, and your blunders are worse. I mean, it's literally, Gabe, it's the exact same deal as ACC basketball. I mean, every loss hurts you more. It's just the reality of it, because your league did nothing in the non-con. I mean, we'll see. Like, maybe Will Wade and Pat Kelsey can kind of prop the ACC up in basketball this year, and it's a different conversation. But that's just a sad truth, even in football for that league right now, because Florida State and Clemson, who are supposed to be leading that conference, are dog water. I mean, they're terrible. Mm. And so when your two teams are that bad, it really drags down the entire metrics of the conference. And so I just don't think they have the ability to claw back in the rankings after two really kind of ugly losses.
To me, like, if I'm just, you know, standing for something, if you can't win the ACC this year, I don't think you should sniff the college football playoff.
No, I know.
That's just,
and even then, like, yeah, we'll see. I mean, even then, Yeah. Like, if it's Duke, like, are they going to get in? I think that's a legitimate question. And, like, I don't set out, like, with some anti-ACC agenda. Like, I miss, honestly, Gabe, the days when Texas and Oklahoma were in the Big 12 and Missouri was in the Big 12 and Texas A&M was in the Big 12 and the ACC was healthy with a pretty, you know, competitive league, and the SEC was good but not dominant, and the Big Ten was good but didn't have 18 teams all over the country. Like, I wish we could go back to that. Like,
yeah,
because
the schedule inequities, it's just like I don't know where to really place these teams. Like, we go after the committee all the time for good reason. They have bad excuses. They don't seem like you don't know what they're actually thinking, how the conversations go fully. But with all of these teams, you know, the conference schedules are just so lopsided for some. You know, yeah. Ohio State hasn't really played or beat anybody. You know, A&M has avoided some of the big, massive matchups in the SEC, part of the reason they're undefeated. Not taking anything away from them. I still think they're a very good football team. But the scheduling inequities is something that I don't think we foresaw when we moved into this new era.
No, not at all. And it's another reason why we can't go to a system where by any stretch, the playoff teams are determined by their standing in the league. Like, because that doesn't matter. You could finish second in the Big Ten with Indiana's schedule, but you might actually be a much worse team than a team that played Wisconsin's schedule, which is absolutely brutal, you know? And so, like, it makes it really difficult to parse these teams out. And again, it gets back to being more of a basketball style evaluation where your SEC or your Big 12 team that has 11 losses is going to be seeded better than your ACC team that has 7 losses. Because wins and losses, they don't mean the same thing in either sport that they used to. And so you have to have metrics at your disposal to help you evaluate. And that's where you get humans in the room, but really the reality is they're looking at computer metrics. So it almost gets back to a point where it's like, why don't we just do it like the BCS did? It's funny because you've seen more of a push for that this year. Like, wow, well, the BCS actually, if we were going by their formula, they'd have a much more sensible bracket than these morons on the selection committee. And honestly, like, I think there's some truth in that. And but yeah, it is. It's really hard on the selection committee. And that's why, like, that conversation around a 4-loss Duke or a 1-loss James Madison is going to be so interesting, so fascinating. If it happens, like, Duke's got to win out, but if they win out and James Madison wins out, like, that debate is going to be just wild. And I think there's great arguments to be made on both sides of it.
I want two G5 teams in just to spurn Paul Feinbaum. I'm sure you saw what he said this week, but he deflected should a 9-3 Texas be in the college football playoff by saying, well, we shouldn't give out a spot to the G5. And he compared it. This is what I don't understand. There's two things. One, he said it was AAA to the majors. I want your opinion on that. And then he said we don't do this in any other sport. And, you know, from my vantage point, we do it in just about every other sport. Like, the divisions in the NFL are not all created equal. Yet whoever wins said division, even if it's down, gets in. What did you think of his whole spiel and his, attack of the G5? He called it the group of whatever. That angered me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it kind of makes it sound like the group of five or group of six, whatever you want to call it. Like, it makes it sound like it's some new thing. Like, they just gave him a seat at the table. Well, no, that's actually not true. I mean, Cincinnati made a 4-team college football playoff several years ago. Boise State made the Fiesta Bowl, 15 years ago. These are not new concepts, actually, believe it or not. Like, there's always been a division of FBS football or a level of FBS football that was outside of the, quote, power conference structure. Like, that's not new. Now, guaranteeing them a spot, a seat in the playoff, I mean, when you have 12 teams, I think it's sensible. I think you do have to have some sort of representation in there from across the sport. And actually, there is nothing in there that says that a quote group of five team is guaranteed a spot in the playoff. It's the top five highest ranked conference champions. And so you might have two group of five teams because the ACC is just that bad. And there might be years, like, if we were to keep going under this format, there might also be years where the Big 12 is in danger. And so, like, at the end of the day, like, it's going to get restructured. The Big Ten, the SEC are going to continue to accumulate power. But there should still always be a path for the G5, even if it's a world where it's all out at larges. I mean, think about it. Last year, Boise State would have still gotten in. Mm-hmm. They would have still gotten in as an at-large. So I think it's, yeah, like, this hasn't been the G5's finest year as a whole. But one, the American's really strong. And two, you know, there are going to be years where there are G5 teams that make it in that at-large territory. And that, if you go back over the course of history, that would have happened on multiple occasions.
All right, now, final thing. I'm trying to get ready and prepared for next Thursday when the Tigers take on the number two team in the country, Purdue. I watched Purdue versus Alabama last night. It was a decently close game. Purdue wins 87-80. But how good are they? Like, I have my concerns. They out-rebounded Alabama 52-28. Trey Kaufman Wren, you know, I think he's the third player since 2000 to have 15-15-5. He had 19-15-5. They rebound well. Two guys in the starting lineup with double-digit rebounds. We know the front court for Memphis is a big concern. Like, I am I'm trying to get myself prepared.
Yeah, you should. It's going to be a brutal matchup because they have an elite point guard, maybe the best point guard in America, and Braden Smith, and maybe the best front court. Like, where Purdue lacks or is not elite is on the wings. Like, they don't have some, you know, 6'7" AJ DeMonsa or so, you know, somebody of that type out there on the wings.
Why does Painter never get the athleticism? Like, he ignores it. You know, he had a little bit a couple of years ago.
Like Jaden Ivey was the
example,
but that has not been common. I think it's kind of the way he plays. Like, stylistically, I think as a wing, you know, if you go there, you're going to be mainly a spot shooter and mainly, you know, trying to feed the ball into the post. And that's not, you know, they're not going to run because they have those bigs. And, like, if you're a wing who's trying to showcase your skill set for the NBA, like, you want to have stuff run for you. You want to get out and transition a little bit. And they don't really do either of those things a whole lot. But it's a brutal matchup for Memphis because the bigs for Memphis are kind of in flux. And, like, if Thierno Sila and Simon Mahak, and God bless, I hope I got those two names right. Like, if they are going to be, like, the guys for Memphis underneath the basket, like, Purdue is as brutal of a matchup for this team as you could possibly imagine. Like, those guys might be able to do fine in the American. And I was actually pretty impressed with both of them against Ole Miss. But you can't expect to go out there and compete with Trey Kaufman Wren and Daniel Jacobson, you know, with those guys. Like, you just can't do that. So, like, if you're Penny, you should almost kind of go small, like, try to play five out, try to make those Purdue bigs guard the perimeter, try to make them run. I think that's probably the best approach, is to try to gas those Purdue bigs, try to play an up-tempo game, and then make them guard out on the perimeter. Because if you're trying to bruise on the block with them, it's just, you're going to be in for a long night.
Yeah, I'm hoping they surprise us, but they do have a game coming up this Sunday, and Josh Pastner is returning to FedEx Forum, so we'll see how he's received. But David, great stuff as always. Enjoy your weekend. We will talk next Monday.
All right, man. Sounds good.
He is David Cobb, college basketball, college football for CBS Sports, role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company. Now, right now, you have the Give Gifts to Get Gifts sale going on at Robert Irwin Jewelers, now through Saturday. Spend $19.99 or more at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and you get a free Yeti Roadie 24 hard cooler. It's a huge diamond sale. It's going on right now through tomorrow. So make sure you get in quickly before everybody takes all the good stuff. And this week only, diamond bracelets are up to 50% off. Plus, mention you heard from me, Gabe Kuhn, and you can get an extra 10% off diamond bracelets. There's lots of financing options that are available, 12 months interest-free financing, take up to 60 months to pay. They have the meant-to-be guarantee, where if you buy your loose diamond or custom-made engagement ring and you don't like it or you guys break up, you have 365 days to return it for a full refund, free ring sizing for life if you gain or lose weight, free jewelry spa service for life to keep that jewelry sparkling like the day you bought it. So Robert Irwin Jewelers is the place to go. Howie and his team have been doing this for, you know, 40-plus years. They've always served Memphis to the best of their ability. No pressure environment, no hassle environment. Get in there. You will enjoy what you see, and you can take advantage of some good deals with the Give Gifts to Get Gift sale going on right now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Now, bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers, 5 locations are online at rijewelers.com. Now let's go ahead and make you some money so you can go take advantage of that sale. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports is next. Lee Sterling is our man with a plan for your sports betting weekend. Number one capper in the world. Football, MLB, basketball, UFC, and NHL. He's co-host of a couple of podcasts you can go check out. Apple, Spotify, Locked On Bets. He's a co-host there. Also co-host of Picking the Locks. He's from Paramount Sports. Go to ParamountSports.com for more information. Lee Sterling joins now. Lee, how's it going?
I'm great. Great. Looking forward to the weekend. Some pretty good games tonight. Not too bad, huh?
Yeah. Between the college football and NFL weekend, is this the best slate of the year? You know, from an entering standpoint.
There.
Maybe not from a betting standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, the lines are starting to get a little tight, let's be honest. But, I mean, the NFL is great. I mean, 4 great games. San Francisco. Not San Francisco. The Rams in Seattle, Buffalo, Tampa Bay, KC in Denver, and Philly in Detroit. Those any weekend will be top plays. And Georgia and Texas and Alabama and Oklahoma are pretty good too. And then you got a couple other games like USC, Iowa, and Notre Dame, Pittsburgh. It's up there. It's
yeah,
up there.
And
the NFL was the best, I thought.
With those SEC matchups, we'll get to them.
Yep.
It's on the card this week.
Yeah.
But the two road teams. Are both coming off of buys, so that complicates some things. But we will discuss.
Right.
Let my listeners, before we get into the card, let my listeners know where to find more of you, Lee.
Well, big UFC card going tomorrow night from Madison Square Garden. 6 selections, $55, and one's a 50-unit max wager. Already sent to. Did you get the card? I sent it to you yet?
Not yet.
I'm sure it's coming. You'll get it shortly. Yeah, and. Feel real good about that. We're 26-12 on the 40-50 unit max wagers there. And then the football, rolling both sports, won both Saturday and Sunday each of the last 2 weeks. So anyone wants to get involved, just go to ParamountSports.com, check out all the specials.
All right, now starting off with Memphis, it was a brutal week last week. I mean,
I mean
it's taken me a while to get over it. I thought at the end of that game, after they went for 2 and they had a drive going down, backup quarterback gets them to the 30, then you have a pre-snap penalty. They don't convert on 4th and 8. Memphis didn't. And obviously going into this week, we're going to have to see the status of Brendan Lewis. But East Carolina is a very solid team. They've lost to 2 Power 5 opponents, or Power 4 opponents. And, you know, they had every chance in the world earlier this season to beat Tulane. Caden Hauser, decent quarterback, transfer from a Power 4. London Montgomery, good running back. Defense, actually pretty solid. Most of the ranks near the top of the American Conference. They're 2.5-point favorites over this Memphis team. So, like, how do you feel about Memphis having lost last week, Brendan Lewis up in the air? Where are we at on this game?
I think it's going to be a tough game. I mean, they were one of the worst defenses until they fired their coach. They were, I thought, the worst defense maybe in the conference. Now, believe it or not, number one in scoring defense in the conference. 19 points per game allowed. Yards per play, number one, 5.0. Yards per game allowed, 326. Memphis is 2-6 straight up and 4-8 against the spread as a road underdog under Silverfield here. It's a tough game mentally to get up for. Last 2 games, each game went to overtime, but I like East Carolina here, 31-24.
That's brutal. Yeah. It starts conversations here in Memphis, no doubt, about Ryan. Now, moving on to the SEC, Alabama, number 4 versus number 11, Oklahoma. Alabama at home, six-point favorites. You know, they haven't necessarily blown people out of the water, but they're a very, very talented team. Ty Simpson hasn't thrown a pick since the Florida State game. But Oklahoma coming off a bye. John Mateer hasn't looked himself since the thumb injury and trying to force himself into the Red River rivalry. But that defense is damn good, and they can create some opportunities for that offense. Is Alabama in trouble this weekend?
So a lot of people around the country love Oklahoma. The line's going down. And I just sensed watching them after the game against LSU, it was like they walked off the field like they beat Mississippi State, like it was nothing. So that kind of tells me that this is the game they want. You brought up about Mateer. Before the injury, he was throwing for 303 yards per game, obviously an easier schedule. But since then, just 183 yards per game here. When I watched Oklahoma against Tennessee, looked at after the game, I said to myself, you know what? Tennessee was the better team. Sometimes you just got lucky. And that fumble return for the touchdown, that was a 14-point flip, I thought, right there. Revenge for last year's 24-3 loss in Norman. Jalen Milroe was the quarterback. How was Ty Simpson sitting in the bench here? This is crazy last year looking back. I like Alabama, 31-17.
All right, now Texas coming off a bye. They are visiting Sanford Stadium, night game. We know the crowd's going to be raucous. It's going to be a crazy environment for Arch Manning to step into. Now, he's had a couple of opportunities so far this year. But this is a night game at Georgia. And I think Georgia's best ability, outside, they've run the ball better lately. You know, I think Nate Frazier had 180 yards there against Mississippi State. But I think their best ability is just to be able to win tight games because they've been in a lot of them. And I think that is vintage Georgia. As long as they're not playing Alabama, they win tight games. Right. But they are 6.5-point favorites against this Texas team who's coming off a bye. We know Sark can scheme it up, and he's had an extra week to try to scheme it up. Yep. And we know Texas is going to have to win a top five game to get into the college football playoff in these last three.
They got to run the table.
So you don't even think a three loss with a win over A&M? Okay.
No. I think they got to run the table. So I love rematch games where the team that lost the year before came in overconfident. That was Texas last year. Everyone loved Texas in that game and told everyone Georgia's going to smack them in the face. Sure enough, they won 30-15. They dominated. Now the Longhorns are the desperate team, given little chance of pulling off the upset. Georgia's about 92% chance of making the college football playoffs, and you hit on it. Texas, 2 weeks to prepare. They can look at every single snap Gunnar Stockton's taken, and they can find some things, some looks that give him problems, and they can scheme up. You can throw in three or four new defenses in that period of time. And Arch is starting to find some success recently. Wrong team favorite, Texas, 31-28.
Okay, but you still think they have to run the table? This is a big conversation this week. Okay, we'll see.
Yeah, I think so. We'll see.
All right, into the NFL. Chiefs minus 3.5 against a Broncos team who has been very inconsistent offensively, but we know their defense is good. Now, they have some injuries. Pat Surtain is going to be out. J.K. Dobbins, running back, going to be out. A couple of linebackers going to be out. I think Chiefs are really just missing Isaiah Pacheco at this moment. Yep. How do you see it?
I still think this defense is something special. I mean, they put the heat on you. This game, I think, smells of one of these games that's going to be last possession or maybe even last play. Patrick Nix, I mean, both fathers, Patrick, going way back, Bo Nix, he can get out on an island and really put some pressure on a defense. When Kansas City knows where the quarterback's going to be, they can scheme up. And having a quarterback, this makes it a little bit tougher on them. So Denver 6-1 against the spread the last 7 meetings. They're at home. If they were on the road, wouldn't take them here. But getting 4, like I said, even if they're behind 8-9 points, you can get a backdoor touchdown. I think Kansas City wins 17-16. Denver covers.
Bills minus 5.5 versus the Bucks. Bucks have some injuries that they've been dealing with just about, you know, the last 4 or 5 weeks. Bucky Irving out, Chris Godwin out, but the Bills are coming off a nasty performance against the Miami Dolphins. 30-13 they lost. How do you see it?
Yep, and here's the thing, though. Tampa, if they wanted to have success, I think they'd have to run the football, and they haven't been able to run the football without Bucky Irvin. In fact, five games without him, anywhere from just 56 to 113 yards. Three of those games under 100 yards. So that's a problem. They are very susceptible to the zone blocking off-tackle play. And Miami ran it and killed them. I mean, over 200 yards rushing for Achane. So they don't have Bucky Irvin. They don't have Mike Evans. They don't have Chris Godwin. You can just see on Baker Mayfield's face, he's frustrated here. Bounce back here for Buffalo. Josh Allen just doesn't have two bad games in a row. Buffalo 28-20.
Now your game of the week, which you can give out to my listeners as long as they make a call, is Ole Miss and Florida. Ole Miss 16.5 point favorites. Let my listeners know how to find that and more, Yuli.
Line's coming down right now. They want to get it. 800-400-9741. And like I said, check us out, ParamountSports.com.
You the man, Lee. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Good luck.
You too, Gabe. Thanks.
He is Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports at Paramount Sports on X. Now, I have a place where you can go lock in these bets. That would be Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica. There's no better place to catch college football than Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica. 20 HD TVs that you can get tuned to whatever game you want. You'll be front and center. The seating is more comfortable than what you have in your living room. You can order from their game day menu. Dollar wings from Guy Fieri's restaurant. Can't beat that. And then, you know, get a beer along the way, get some winnings. Maybe you get a room there. Maybe you go eat at Jack Binion's with your winnings. Great steakhouse. Connor and I love it. Every time we make it down there, we take a stop to Jack Binion's. But make sure you get to Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica. They have a full-service sports betting experience. In-game wagering, staff betting windows, 10 self-betting kiosks. So you're always going to be able to lock in the bet of your choice. It's the ultimate. It's the ultimate. Get to Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica. We will see you on Saturday. You must be 21 or older to gamble. No one to stop before you start. You have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now, we need to go ahead and wrap up hour number two next with Small Talk right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. All right, we have more Ed O rumors. I know you love Ed Orgeron, Connor, so here's the latest rumor. And I don't even know if it's a rumor. It was reported by On3 that Ed Orgeron at Arkansas have been in contact about the head coaching opening. How about that? He was an assistant strength coach at Arkansas way back in the day, 86, 87. Obviously, we know his last stop was there at LSU, and it didn't end well. But Ed O to Arkansas, can you get used to that idea?
I can absolutely get used to that idea.
I just always come back to this when it comes to Ed O. The SEC needs Ed O, and Ed O needs the SEC. It just makes too much sense. Now, obviously, there's some other coaches involved.
Correct.
The Ryan Silverfield thing, I think, has slowed down. Really, after that Tulane loss, it slowed down, even though I don't know if that should be the death nail. But Alex Golesh, John Sumrall, Bobby Petrino, of course, is still, you know, being talked about in those circles. And it feels like this coaching search.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sped up a little bit this week. There's a lot of people in Fayetteville who say, and they won't say a name, say that they're very close to making a hire. I don't think it's going to be Ed O, but that would be fun. He can recruit. I don't know how well he can recruit in the NIL era with the lack of resources that is probably present there at Arkansas, but he could probably get some good coordinators in there, potentially make something happen. I would say, though, you know, considering what happened with Bobby Petrino, considering, you know, there are two candidates on this list who, infidelity has been a question in the past. Edo and not necessarily infidelity with Edo, but Bobby Petrino's the other one. Well, it's more you know, talking to his assistant coach's wives,
yeah,
and girlfriends.
It wasn't Edo's infidelity, at least I don't think.
But you know, this is don't make these hires. Make a more stable hire.
Don't hire Edo. But it'd just be hilarious.
But I do get a kick out of the fact that Edo and Arkansas have been in conversations back and
yes.
forth.
Yes. Did you tell me he reached out to Arkansas first, though?
Yeah, he called them. He called them.
That's amazing.
Yeah. The two names he's being attached to right now are Arkansas. Very loose attachment there. But Oregon State's the other one.
Oh, that doesn't make any sense.
Why?
He doesn't fit in with Oregon State.
He was at USC. I mean, he's been out on the West. He's been all across this wonderful country of ours.
I don't know if Ed O. And
I will say I don't know if with Ed O. Yes, he fits like a glove in the SEC. We get that in the state of Louisiana. He fits. I get that part. But he's a very charming guy. I don't think he lacks fit anywhere.
Could you imagine?
I think everybody likes Ed O.
Ed O in the living room of Oregon parents would be a hysterical thing to watch.
He'd find a way to fit in, brother. He's an ace recruiter. He's a charming guy. I wouldn't rule him out of Oregon State.
That seems like an odd fit to me.
Where he really got to start though is at USC, like with Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll kept him on the staff. Like he's been all over this great country of ours coaching football, and he is related to players' parents and recruits' parents wherever he has gone. So like I don't see why it wouldn't be a fit. The reason it wouldn't be a fit is because he's not that great of a ball coach, right? Like the reason it wouldn't be a good fit is because he can't call plays. Not a defensive whiz kid. He's a recruiter and a D-line coach. That's what he does best, and that's why it's not a good fit at this particular moment. I do have questions, though. At a place like Arkansas or Oregon State that are lacking for resources, do you think he'd still be able to recruit the way he has in the past? Like, because that's always been a question. Because let's be honest, LSU stops before USC. We know about what was happening.
What was happening?
And the offers mm-hmm. that were made under the table.
You're telling me that he didn't get that roster at LSU legally? Is that what you're telling
I'm
me?
I'm not saying anything. I don't want to accuse anybody of anything,
uh-huh.
all right?
Uh-huh. But yes.
You still think he'd be good at recruiting?
I don't know. I think that there would be a moment where he'd be like, I can get you $1 million. I promise nobody else in this country can get you $1 million. They'd be like, Edo, NIL exists.
A lot of empty promises.
I don't know what NIL is.
Yeah, yeah.
Do we think that he understands the rules of NIL?
No.
No.
Absolutely not. No chance.
He would be, he'd be like, I've got this company. They're called Aspiration.
Shout out Steve Ballmer. Let's go ahead and grab a break. Hour number three is on the way. We'll talk some Grizzlies on the other side with Parker Fleming. Stick around.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.